What's up? This is the Sisters in Therapy podcast, and this week we're talking about love and community. So this is Takesha's favorite topic.
It is.
And how we've been kind of doing our sessions is we start off with some definitions. So love, this extends beyond romantic or individualistic relationships. Mm-hmm. This is a communal and transformative force that recognizes interconnectedness. Now, what the hell does all that mean?
Breaking down for us, Dr. TK.
What does all that mean? For you, Takesha, when you think about love?
For me, it, like they said, it expands beyond the romantic notion of what love is.
Okay.
And so it is how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about those around us, how we feel about how we engage with community in a loving and caring way.
Okay.
So I think bell hooks describes it perfectly when she describes love as a combination of care, commitment, knowledge, responsibility, respect, and trust.
Yes. Mm. Is it all about love or communion?
That one is all about love.
Yeah, okay. That one's all about love.
So what I love about her definition of love is it kind of puts love as a dish, and these are the ingredients to help us get this lovely cuisine.
That plus love. it promotes action.
Of course.
Right? Like, love doesn't just sit idle. It requires you to pay attention to these various things to get you to practice that more intentionally.
Okay.
You know? So I love that.
So you have, it's a recipe, it's an action. And for me, what stands out is these are things that should be a part of all loving relationships.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Which is the key to expanding beyond just the romantic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about more than love here. We're also talking about community. Mm-hmm. And community is a dynamic and intentional space that fosters collaboration, understanding, and empowerment. It goes beyond geographical proximity, encompassing shared experiences, values, and the commitment to dismantling intersecting systems of oppression. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to say that again.
It's encompassing.
But it's a bit wordy. So, Brittany, you read it.
A community is a dynamic, an intentional space that fosters collaboration, understanding, and empowerment. It goes beyond geographical proximity, encompassing shared experiences, values, and a commitment to dismantling intersecting systems of oppression. That's very wordy, but that is the definition of community.
But that's why I want you to read it twice. Yeah. I kind of want to read it three times, but it's the last part. Commitment to dismantling intersecting systems of oppression.
Yeah.
That's what I love the most about that definition. How does bell hooks define community?
Not necessarily defining it, but she talks about how communities sustain life.
Okay.
And I know that this is true because there is one, we just know it because Bill said it. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. But there is actual research out there that talks about other places in the world who they were studying why people live longer in these places.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Why men and women live longer in certain places. And the key finding that they found was they have more socialization and more community interaction.
Mm. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to live longer if they are a part of healthy interactions and engagement with other humans.
Yeah.
So that is true.
Do y'all feel like we've lost that? Is that a lost recipe?
I don't know if it's as lost as it is undervalued. I don't know if people realize the significance of it.
Okay.
So
what I think is we have it, but we don't know what to do when someone in the community changes. So we don't know how to be flexible in community.
Ooh,
that's okay. What I think. I think that's what we've lost as
tell
a community.
What that looks like. I like what you're saying. We'll go
because
a little bit
if I think so, what does community mean to us? That's one of Takesha's first process questions. And when I got to thinking about that, I was like, community has always been a part of my life, even though I didn't know that that's what it was.
Okay, I see where you're going.
So when I first started out longing for a community, it really felt like it was out of desperation. It wasn't necessarily out of solidarity or something like that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't seeking community to also be a space holder for people. I was seeking community so they can be an escape for me. And that's not how I see community now. So I'm like, we have to be flexible in community because we change as people.
That's a fair point.
So we got to hold space for disagreements and being able to talk about things and being able to embrace who we become.
Yeah, I love that because what you're speaking to is like, it's community, but there's individuality within community.
Facts.
Right? So giving room for people's authenticity, independence, different viewpoints, things like that.
in different lifestyles, mm-hmm. all types of things. I think that when we struggle, I think, as a community, and as community, I'm talking about obviously Black people, when we don't embrace our differences and think that Blackness is just one way.
Yeah.
That's when we struggle as a community.
Yeah. We're not a monolith, guys.
Not at all. Even though we collectively do have a conscience and all those things, we are not all alike, though. We're multifaceted.
Yeah.
And I want to read one of my favorite quotes from All About Love. From Bell Hooks. And so she said, "We all long for love and community. It enhances life's joy. But many of us seek community solely to escape the fear of being alone. Knowing how to be solidarity is central to the art of loving. When we can be alone, we can be with others without using them as a means of escape." Mm. So for me, that's how community started out. It's always been a part of my life, whether it was being really close with my friends or playing sports or being in band or even doing shit that was not... that I shouldn't have been doing. Mm-hmm. It was all about trying to belong or just find some type of escape. Mm-hmm. But that's not what it is to me now, but that's how it started.
Mm. I think that's how it starts for most people.
Okay.
Because I feel like that need to belong is central to our human nature.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is kind of also why I think cults exist, but that's another...
You know, they are...
Because...
They are popular right now.
You know?
Yeah, those documentaries are insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
But I think that is... That's a part of all of our shared experiences as human beings, is to want to know that we have people, that we belong somewhere,
yes.
that we mm-hmm. we have people. And somebody, I don't even know who said this, but there was a question of, like, whose are you?
Mm-hmm.
And who is yours? I think that was Lovey from Professional Troublemaker.
Yeah.
So who would y'all say, like, whose are you? Mm.
That's such a really good question. I do. So the way I want to answer it is, like, I also grew up in community.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a really big Black tennis community.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I moved here from Atlanta, because I attended Prairie View, like, the community just continued to flow into my life. And so even now as an adult,
mm-hmm.
it's even more important for me to have community because I know that's how I survive.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. So... Before I answer that, can you define
who, whose are you?
Yeah.
So if I was to answer that question, it's whose are ours and whose are we? It's like, who are your people? So for me, I am my mom's. I am.
Okay.
You're mine.
I am yours. Yeah. I am yours. You know, I am my friends.
I see. Okay. Yeah. The same would be for me. My family, my friends. Like, that is my nucleus. Like, that mm-hmm. makes me solid. And it can be a little scary thinking about the closeness
mm-hmm.
because we know that inevitable things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Tapping into their vulnerability.
Yes. Yeah. And even in that, in recognizing that death is a part of life, right, mm-hmm. it's encouraged me to be more present and to embrace every single moment. Not in a desperate way,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but I've recognized that being present is so important for me now as I've gotten older,
mm-hmm.
because you don't get these moments and times back. Mm-hmm. The memory you keep, but you don't right. get to experience it the same way.
Community That's definitely, important. Though, community definitely exceeds family.
Yeah,
in my opinion. You have community at work. Mm-hmm. You have community at the gym. Sometimes even your favorite checker at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. But just different places that you can find community. And it's very important to have it and to know where it is. And so you pose the question, whose are you
mm-hmm.
and who is yours?
Mm-hmm.
I'm for the streets, but no, I'm just playing. I think I am my ancestors. Like, I feel very close to some type of ancestor energy all the time. And I think that kind of propels me forward and helps me manage my rage.
Mm. How do you harness that?
I'm not sure. Ask me that a different way.
How do you utilize that? How do you tap into that?
The ancestry.
Yes. Like, what times does it come up for you and how do you utilize it? Because I think a lot of things come up to us or present themselves to us. And then we kind of choose if we want to do something with it or harness it in a certain way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess one way I harness that is it helps me manage my rage by, one, when I'm feeling like, oh my God, it's so frustrating being Black. And I like to change that wording because it's not frustrating being Black. What's frustrating is oppression and systemic racism. So, and just thinking about like all of the things these people had to go through just for me to sit here today and have this conversation.
Hello.
That's how I harness it, I do believe. But other ways, it's just like working out, moving my body. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how I harness it.
Nice.
For sure.
Love that.
I want to go back a little bit to what you said, Brittany, because thank you for sharing that, Sadie. I agree with that 100%. But you mentioned that almost vulnerability piece that comes with love and with community and knowing whose we are. It's that uncomfortable part of knowing hard things might happen.
Yeah.
I think that segues perfectly into what Mercedes was saying before of it's inevitable that people will change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even just grief and loss and death or vulnerability in that. It's also knowing that this relationship dynamic might change.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. You know, people might be different, but how do these still remain my people?
Right.
Or how do I still be present and enjoy right. this love and this community mm-hmm. in the capacity of where we're at right now? Because people yeah. like to discount it or run from it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking away the value that is still here.
It still has. Yeah, I think people, I love that. And I think the moment that we realize it's not about us is the moment that we can embrace the authenticity within
right.
community, mm-hmm. right? Like,
facts.
Dynamics change all the time. Priorities shift all the time. And there is a grieving element.
And things happen within community.
Yes.
Sometimes pain happen within the community.
Absolutely. And so
we know that far too well as Black people, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot my point. But yes, I agree to what you're saying. And I think that is what community is about, right? It mm-hmm. it promotes the healing of all while also giving people room
mm-hmm.
to take time to come back, to right. take time to come back.
Mm-hmm. It don't always happen smoothly like that, though, because I think that we don't realize that a part of upholding community is that everybody has a responsibility.
Oh, facts.
And yeah. with their responsibility for me, it's like I have to be aware of my own traumas, my insecurities, my self-doubt so that I don't project that onto the other people that I share this community with because, or my misunderstandings of who they've become. Mm. Once we start tapping into that, we get to pushing people away and we create this barrier of shame sometimes within community. So it becomes like, the community becomes then like toxic, but we're still calling it community, which I think is a problem for us as Black people sometimes.
Mm.
I think Kendrick Lamar speaks on it. And on their latest album, where he's saying this culture community, like we've created this toxic culture. So
where we're normalizing
stuff that shouldn't be normalized.
And just calling it community.
Just calling it
so
community.
So then we can hang on to it the same way that for we the kind culture. Of do like traditions.
Yeah.
Like, not really challenging if this is
really community.
Or really working in a healthy, sustainable way.
So does that mean what was I trying to ask? Like community isn't yours, it's ours kind of thing, right? Like what was the saying? Whose
are you?
Yeah. Like forgetting that it's not just, it's yours, but you don't have ownership of it and you can't create it to make it so comfortable for you that you are the only person that could give access to this community.
Right.
You know, there's no rite of passage here.
Right.
And so what's coming up for me as we talk about this is just the civil rights movement and how people were told to focus on one thing at a time, thinking about community. And so, of course, Black women were told to put their rights to the side. We're going to focus on one thing at a time. That's not community.
At all.
That's not community.
What do you think are some telltale signs of what community is not? So for that, what automatically stands out is the exclusion.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Facts.
That's the main thing.
Of one group or centering yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
That's automatically red flag. That does not qualify as community.
Because we have Black people, and under Black people, we have Black men, Black women, we have LGBTQ, we have all these different things, and it's always an element of exclusion, in my opinion. And
for
so we are more loving when we are inclusive.
Yes.
And I think that is where we are struggling today. So I think we need a reset.
Oh, for sure.
As a community.
For sure. And I think we need flexibility, right? Like
most definitely flexibility.
Community is not meant to be rigid. Like you need structure, you need routine.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to only letting certain people in, are we really community then?
Okay. Then that brings up another point. And I hate to keep bringing up points. but then it makes me think about Dwayne Wade.
Come on, somebody.
And how we have tried to exclude the way that he's choosing to love his child.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not been fair to Dwayne, in my opinion, as Black people, without, like, because we want everything to be one way. Yeah. Like, he, Dwayne Wade is honoring his child's autonomy, right, whether we agree with it or not. And so, since Dwayne Wade is ours, we have to honor his autonomy to parent the way in which he wants to parent.
Yes, because we have decided that that is his level of masculinity.
Also,
facts, Brittany, and that's a whole nother topic. That, you know what? We need to talk about it.
I do want to come back around to that, but not in that way, but yeah.
That's a good point.
I only say that because this is why I know that we're losing the definition, or we're losing the idea of what community
but
is,
have we,
right?
Have we ever had it?
I think we did, but I think we've lost it because we've gotten really individualistic, and social media has played a part.
We had it, but it had exclusions. If you think about the root of community, we had it, but it was definitely exclusions.
That's my question, is where the exclusions come from. On the Dwayne Wade tip, I will say that as long as we are not hurting anyone or hurting ourselves, there's no need for us to be excluding anyone in community. Yes.
We can disagree and still be inclusive.
And still be loving.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And still be loving. And I think what confused me is that people talk all the time about how we need active parents. And the moment you see it represented,
girl,
you don't like it?
Safely, lovingly.
Yeah.
Where do we think this exclusion came from? How did, from inception, why do we do this?
You're going to tell her, I'm going to say it.
I think it's religion.
Because of slavery.
Religion and slavery, I heard. For the one.
Slavery for 200.
I think it's... Yeah. Both of them.
Let's get into it.
And not that slavery is a laughing matter.
And not that religion is a laughing matter.
Neither are.
Yeah.
But religion was somewhat used to make people think that they should be slaves. So that's how they started abusing religion. Mm-hmm. They being Caucasian people, Europeans, this is how they started. And so essentially how I think we kind of like got to this point was just the psychological distress of people being robbed of their humanity. Mm-hmm. So community became about maybe they didn't feel like they could focus on more than one thing at a time.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Maybe
for
that's sure. What they were going through.
What was that movie? A Night in Miami?
Maybe. On Amazon Prime?
Yes.
With Sam Cooke and Malcolm X,
yes.
Jim Brown.
And Malcolm X was the one that was like, we gotta... But then one person was like, I mean, yeah, we could do that too, but like, I kind of want to go out and be with my friends
too.
Well,
that was like, definitely like Jim Brown, because Jim Brown was trying to be in the streets. But Malcolm X was for like, we finna do this right now. I am Malcolm X and Malcolm X is me, for sure.
Yeah. But even to that point, right, there's a balance. Like, bro, we had a cookout. Like, I'm just trying to enjoy my hot dog and hamburger.
Okay, this is what we still working on, okay?
That's true.
We ain't there yet.
This is true. Like, making space for Black joy.
I'm here all day, every day, but God damn it, I want to eat my Chipotle.
I'm about to say, I'm
but I think, Takesha, what did you originally ask? I think we got off topic.
Yeah, we did.
What did you originally ask?
I asked where we thought that this came from. But y'all, we already know religion, slavery. So,
or slavery, just
patriarchy.
All the above. So,
besides
what?
Menor?
All the above.
Okay.
What is our responsibility? I like that you hit on that earlier, our responsibility in community, because I think which we can get more into, of like what community does for us. I want to talk a little bit about what is our responsibility in dismantling some of these things.
As an individual or unit? Or
both.
Both. Oh my God. It's so big. The problem
absolutely.
Is so big.
Absolutely.
So I'll start with what community is not.
Okay.
Community is not the shade room.
Or
TMZ. Or just gossip, right? Like gossiping about our fellow. I mean, sure, we can be concerned, but we are bringing up concern in ways that is not loving. Because we can be concerned, but it's not coming up as like genuine concern. It's coming up as shame or gossiping to laugh or humiliate the next person. Mm-hmm. So that's when I feel like we're getting lost as a community. Just, you know, all of these podcasts, they're just bringing people on and just talk about any and everything that could be hurtful. And I'm all for people speaking their truth, though.
Yeah,
I really am. But how do we sit down and speak our truth to each other without continuing to spread this gap of...
Yeah.
What are we spreading?
I don't
it's not
know.
Love.
It's not. I love that you brought up those examples, because I think we're forgetting that social media is not reality.
Oh, girl.
Right?
Speak to it.
So, like...
And we know that, as therapists, that it is not reality.
Right. And so, like, it's reading the comments. It's really wild how mean people could be.
So mean.
And I think people have gotten so good at laughing or pointing the finger at somebody else that we really have forgotten that that is a person. Like, I don't care if they're a celebrity.
Yes.
This is a person. So, like, would you talk to somebody else that you know like that? You probably would.
Yes, yes. That is true.
Now, do we exclude that person from community?
I think a big part of community is accountability.
Facts. Okay. We haven't talked about that.
Okay.
Well, we talked about responsibility. Accountability, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That is, we talk about this all the time, about sometimes we have a difficult time calling out each other whenever we are having poor behavior.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So y'all are my community.
Mm-hmm.
We are a community. Do we struggle with calling each other out?
Absolutely not. If I know that you have done something wrong, I got a promise.
So absolutely not.
Okay, I thought she was going to say a little bit.
I'm going to do it because you know I will, because Mercedes be like, I ain't nobody asked you for all that.
Okay, you're right.
Why you being so logical right now? I ain't need to know.
Okay, okay, true.
Yeah.
Well, what you want me to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it can be because you just don't know a person's response to you saying, hey, yo, that's not cool. Mm-hmm.
So what does community mean to you? What does community look like for you? Then that means we're able to do that because we have created safe spaces.
Correct.
Right. Can't have community without safe spaces.
Right. So how do you create safe spaces? In community. Because even when we talk about community, it's not just us involved, right? Like, every person participating in community is not a therapist, right?
So, but for this particular, for my community here, most of my friends are therapists. So, it is safer to move around and maneuver through y'all.
We have privilege in that way. That's different. I always have to constantly acknowledge. Yes.
I am very blessed that a very specific, huge part of my life consists of a community of therapists. And not that therapists are perfect people, but my friends who just so happen to be therapists, we are emotionally intelligent and mature enough to have conversations, and sometimes they're tough conversations. Mm-hmm. It get awkward sometimes, but we come right on back.
Yeah.
You come right on back.
Even planning for these episodes.
But we come right on back.
Are we back?
Yes. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's not always easy for people to honor themselves in community because spaces are not safe.
Yeah. Now.
It's not a right or wrong.
No, it's not a right or wrong.
But I know the answer.
Because as you're talking, I'm realizing the key to safe space is being inclusive.
It is.
We keep losing that, right? So, like, if it's a, hey, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's safe. If you're inviting me in this space, I'm trusting that I'm good. So that means I come as I am, literally.
I think that's really an important piece. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for all aspects of community. But I remember having a conversation with Mercedes about this, about the importance of us creating safe spaces for Black women to show up imperfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because in all these other spaces, Black women are not allowed to have a bad day or to be distant or lash out. Community gonna call them on that. People are going to be upset by this and bothered by this.
Mm-hmm.
For us, this is not to say that to tolerate mistreatment or anything like that, but it is to say this is a space that you can show up imperfectly. And know that you're still going to always have a space here.
You're still going to be loved.
Right. It's still going to be okay. And I think that that's so crucial because that lets us know I can come back. I don't have to hide.
Okay.
Mm.
And I like that you just said that. And I want to add to that, that being that loving is not robbing people from accountability if something has happened.
I love that.
We're not saying that we're not going to hold Black women accountable, but we are saying we see Black women. And when you see Black women, I think the way that we see Black women, we're able to see why they're showing up the way that they're showing up, if that makes sense, versus trying to police and call them an angry Black woman or difficult or any of those things. We see each other. So I think it's easy to show up completely falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if this also branches out into being an ally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have used the term, like, you're a conditional ally or transactional ally. And I had gotten into a little bit of a disagreement with somebody on social media they had used the term. They were talking about female rap. And they were saying, like, you know, I like that she did this freestyle because she wasn't hypersexual and kind of going down a list, right? And I commented and said, well, would you say this about a male rapper, right? Because hypersexual means that they are doing more than their counterparts, right? So we kind of went back and forth. And so he used the term, I can only be an ally. Something about, like, I can't agree with it if it's a stereotype because I want to be an ally. And I said, allyship makes room for everybody. It ain't conditional, and it's not to fit in your little box of what you think a person should be.
Especially right? A female rapper.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a loaded topic, just so we're clear.
It can't if it falls within the contradiction.
The stereotype, but then, like,
but who set the stereotype, and why are you automatically following the stereotypes instead of challenging them anyways? I think that's exactly. A big part of, like, also how we got here as community, because we swallowed and are now regurgitating what our community should look like and what we should value and what is masculinity and what is femininity.
I'm glad you said that, because when we speak of Black people and we think about community, a lot of Black women get excluded for owning their sexuality or being liberated in that sense, or being a single mother, or, you know, their value is kind of dwindled and they're shunned from the community because of said things, because now they are somehow lost their femininity or their value as a woman. Mm-hmm.
Because that's your definition of it. You think that's supposed to be it across the board. Mm-hmm. And that's not how community works. That's not how allyship works.
And mind you, they can come as they are and be whoever the hell they want to be, as long as it is not causing harm to themselves or anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. People have a problem with this because they think that Black women are, they're just choosing to be this way, and they told us to have a problem with this. You already probably thought this way about Black women. People have been telling you that Black women and Black girls are hypersexual since they came to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a big piece of slavery was not just physical labor, but it was also reproductive labor. And we don't talk about that enough, because that reproductive labor, that reproductive labor fell on Black girls and Black women, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I'm just not realizing, because we think of the humiliation and slavery. Yes.
Ooh, child, that's another episode for real.
So
their bodies are breeding ground. Anyway.
But this
breeding ground for another person's property. I can't. Okay.
But all of those things which we talk about, which I think makes it difficult for us to have a community where we are all well.
Come on, somebody.
Those things, the historical facts of slavery and capitalism and just the economic trauma, the physical trauma, sexual trauma, all those things make it hard for us to be well, I think, because we are trying to figure out how to be in general.
Because we're trying to survive.
Yeah.
I think that goes into one of my questions, which is, like, how do our intersecting identities and our history influence our experiences, perceptions, and expression of love and care for ourselves and in community. I think that's a big part of it. And I think that we can all do a better job of sitting with and thinking about our current perceptions of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we have these very linear ways of saying what we should be doing, what our actions should be looking like, what our body should be looking like. I ain't gonna get into that today.
Or even in community, even if you think about Black men, just how they have, how I don't know who, I'm not gonna say who, patriarchy or whoever, society has limited them to certain roles that make it hard for them to show up in community as being authentic.
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we're all victims of it.
We're all victims of patriarchy. But what I'm saying is, like, even for them, though, just knowing, like, Black men need safe spaces, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, like, do Black men know their role in creating said certain safe spaces for themselves?
I think that's a conversation we got to have with Black men.
Yeah. No, seriously, though. But I'm like, no, for sure. I'm like, so what do we do? Because people say that, what are we doing as Black women to create safe spaces for Black men? What do you think we do? And community-wise, what do you think we do?
I mean, I could be going on a leap here, but I feel like a lot of the traditions that are still maintained are because of women. Now, that could be very generalized. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's been really hard trying to bridge the gap. And I guess it depends on what we're talking about. But, like, if we were to, because I like the fact that you said, like, maybe we need to talk to Black men about it. And a part of that for sure does have to be with them specifically. But I think, I don't think people come in wanting to listen.
Okay.
I model it anyway. That's what I do.
I'm finna say.
I said I model it anyway. Me too. What I do. I saw it not on a larger scale, but on an individual scale. Anytime I am maybe sharing space with another Black man or Black men or in mm-hmm. individual conversations, I'm going to model to you. If I hear you talking about, like, your worth is only the check you bring in or because you're able to fix things, like, even if you joke lightly, that's all I'm here for. I'm saying, no, you're not.
Yes, that's what I was getting to. I like
that modeling.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. The reason why I brought that up is because we talked about safe spaces for Black women and mm-hmm. what we know how to do. But we know how to create safe spaces for Black men. That's why I brought that up. But that's exactly what I do. Whenever I am encountering a Black man and we're having a conversation, they do tend to think certain things about themselves. And I'm like, no, that's not how I see you.
Right.
I think that's a big part
of it. That's not how I see you.
Yeah.
And that disarms them in a way.
Yes.
I think sometimes they don't know what to do with it, but I do have to let them know.
Trust me.
You are so much more, like.
Yes.
Like, so, you don't have to do that, you know?
Yes. Like, that's my favorite thing about working with Black men or even just Black men that I run across. Like, bro, you are way more than this. You don't, you know, it's not about how much money you bring in. Like, right. I want you to feel your feelings. I want you to be human. I want you to be loving and I want you to have some joy. That's what I want for you.
And create that for yourself. That way it overflows into your other relationships.
And I also want you to hold your fellow Black men accountable.
That too. But I've been talking to men about. Because
I was about to get
that's just one of the things.
About to
but I love y'all.
We really do.
But I think there have even been times when I've heard men, and probably even people I've been in relationship with, say things like, oh, because I wasn't able to do that, like, maybe I feel like less of a man, or this was my manly duty, and I have to.
I don't even like manly duties.
Always what remind them. I don't know.
No, you don't got.
Always have to remind them, like, I could never strip you of your manhood.
Thank you, Takeisha, for saying that. Just
because you don't do this. Exactly. Or your manhood stays intact even if you cry. No one gets to, even I if try you, to let them know this is not something that is conditional.
Yeah. Not at all.
And you know, this could be branching off into something else, but I came across, I think it was either a tweet or it was on TikTok, but you know how, like, they say, you know, the moms will say sometimes, like, my son, especially if they're a single parent, like, he's the man of the house.
I've and never it's heard like, that, but I see people say that all the time on social media.
Yes, and it's like, that it starts there.
Okay.
You're teaching them to be what this early, and he's five. Like, he don't have to be the man of the house. He could be a kid of the house. So I think it starts really early, and I agree with both of you all. It's modeling. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that.
Okay.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to be that.
Okay.
In order to be a man.
In order to be a man.
You just get to be it. The same way we get to have dignity or we get to have worth, you just have it.
Correct. Because the reality of only practicing that limits your interactions with people anyway, right? Like, you don't connect with people if you feel like all I got to do is pay for stuff. You should be happy. No.
Not just that. I feel like you limit your own
humanity.
Experience, your own humanity. Like, you get to be so much more.
Exactly.
Okay. So then that comes back to, like, us having a responsibility in our communities.
So modeling.
So everybody can have, everybody can be safe and we can be inclusive in order to have community.
Yes.
But I do think that this conversation is so long.
We could go on it.
We might come back to it, honestly.
And that is, and I think that, you know, if you're out there and you're listening to this, start these conversations within your own community, making sure people feel safe, having a check in.
Yeah.
I was about to say, before we wrap up, I do want to hit on, like, two pieces.
Okay.
One, which is, what do you think the role of love is in community? Hmm. And then we can end with, how can one go about engaging in community? Oh, okay.
No, but
what's the role of love?
I think it's a big part of it.
The role of love in community?
Uh-huh.
I thought we just talked about it all a bit.
You mean as far as how it's exercised or, like, generally what's the role of it? Well, I guess to Mercedes' point, we did. I think the role of it is being inclusive, being understanding, giving people room to be their most authentic selves. Because if love and understanding is the default, that is healing in itself.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so if that is absent, nothing can exist, really. It can, but it's not healthy.
So for me, is if I think about the role of love and community, I'm going to come back to the responsibility part. So one, I need to love myself.
Facts.
Love myself in a way that's healthy so that I am aware of everything that's plaguing me so that I don't show up and project any of these things onto my community.
Mm, okay.
So that's my role. I mean, that's my responsibility for one, being loving in my community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my take on that.
Yeah. What about you, T?
For me, the role of love means mutual respect,
yes,
care, and consideration. And when I talk about respect, care, and consideration, I feel like that's for a person as a whole and for their autonomy. That means caring and loving them even when you're having a hard day, caring and loving for them even when they're having a hard day or when they show up imperfectly. Grace, giving one another grace, that feels like love to me.
That's one of my favorite things.
Same.
Being so extending grace, mm-hmm, seems hard for people until we're on the other side of needing grace.
Because unfortunately,
we look at it as a need, but not a responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah, needs are very often also responsibility.
I have learned that. And so I'm always trying to give grace. It's hard, though, sometimes to give grace. But that's my responsibility to be loving in my community.
Correct. Absolutely.
Is to give grace.
And would you say that it starts with self, right? So, like, with you saying, like, you reflect and ensure, like, the love that you practice with yourself, mm-hmm, can easily come to others. And I think it is hard for people to not give grace, and I think you said it, it's because we don't give ourselves the same.
Oh, absolutely.
Some people don't give themselves the same grace because we judge ourselves all the time, right?
Yes.
So, like, judging somebody else comes very easy.
I think that's true. A beautiful tie-in to how that impacts our mental health as well.
Yeah.
Because if we are loving and we're able to give other people grace, we're able to give ourselves that kind of same grace and love as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how much does that influence our mental health, right?
Yeah.
Am I trying to be a perfectionist? Am I super rigid around myself? Mm-hmm. Does that lead to negative self-talk?
Mm-hmm.
And so because I have to be this way for myself, am I also this rigid with the people around me?
Yeah.
And resentful whenever they act outside of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That type of self-awareness helps you show up better in your community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's more freeing and it becomes so much more easier to foster relationships.
That's the thing. I think people think it's hard, which I think the initial steps of it,
I mean, it is
are
challenging.
Hard. Yeah. The initial steps, I mm-hmm. think, are, but on the back end of it, once you kind of learn the things and these things become regular practice, I feel like also there's a lot less pressure.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be as hard on yourself. If it's a bookshelf full of books, like, you get to take half of them off and now you're only left mm-hmm. with a couple. Like, this is all you have to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if I'm hypervigilant for everything that's going wrong for myself and needing to punish myself and needing to punish everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then to your question, how do people, foster or build community?
Yes.
Okay. That's been coming up a lot in the sessions with my clients. And usually one of the things I encourage is, like, sometimes you just have to go out and have experiences, right? You might have to try a new hobby, join a book club, like, do mm-hmm. be more active in whatever your city can offer to you, mm-hmm. and you'll find your tribe.
It takes time, though. It's not always easy. I just got lucky with the people who I consider a part of my community. Mm-hmm. I think I'm blessed, rather.
Because I guess we are transplants, so I guess we're not from here. So we did get lucky.
Definitely, for sure. But so we, you know, spent this session talking about love and community, and that really ties into the next couple of sessions, in which would be intimacy and vulnerability, because all those things are needed as well to have a community that is well,
mm-hmm.
for sure. So, with that being said, you guys have anything else you want to leave the people with about love and community?
Take your time. Be patient with yourself. I would encourage everybody to figure out their things,
mm-hmm.
their interests, their passions, likes, dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that feeds well into what Brittany was saying about finding your people.
So right.
whether that's a book club, whether it's a dance class,
mm-hmm.
I think you do have, there's a part of knowing yourself
mm-hmm.
first that'll really help it transition into community.
Right. And when you show up to these new spaces where you're trying to foster community, please show up authentically
mm-hmm.
As yourself, so that the people know the real you, and you can see if this is actually a good fit for you. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to be yourself.
Yeah, because it won't feel like community if you're not.
Yeah, it'll become a chore and exhausting exactly. and not sustainable.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Well, with that being said, go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Sistas in Therapy. That is S-I-S-T-A-S in Therapy. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to our show on and give us a review. And as always, go love yourself.